Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again.
Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Wait a minute. It's a Wednesday. What are we doing? Yeah, it's a Murder Monday marathon. We didn't mix up our days here on Radio Now.
That's right. We've done this 3 days in a row in honor of Halloween, and today is the last day. Otherwise, your Murder Monday will take place again on Mondays.
At your regularly scheduled time on your program right here.
Yes.
All right. So listen, we do Murder Monday, by the way, to bring attention to our friends at Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. And that's why we do it. We'll give you the number at the end of this so you can write that down. And if you see a crime, you can report it anonymously.
That's right.
Alex, this week for Murder Monday, what are you doing?
The man who killed Halloween, a.k.a. Ronald Clark O'Brien. Ronald and his wife were typical suburban American life. They lived a typical American suburban life in 1974. They have a nice home in Deer Park, Texas, just outside of Houston. Ronald works as an optician in the city and is a deacon and bus driver at the Second Baptist Church, where he also sings in the choir. It was Halloween night in Texas, a little chilly, but otherwise perfect. Not too hot, not too cold. There was a festive cheer in the air, and lights were starting to flick on, one by one, on all of the front porches. Click, click, click. It was time to trick or treat. Children laugh as they scared each other with their costumes and run circles around their parents. Robert and his wife had taken their two kids, 8-year-old Timothy and 5-year-old Elizabeth, to a Halloween dinner at their neighborhood friend's house. Their neighbor was Jim Bates. Jim had two children also who so badly wanted to go trick-or-treating. So Robert and Jim decide that they're going to leave the wives to chat and they'll take the kids out. Ronald is still dressed in the white lab coat he wears for work, and just as they leave Jim's house, it starts to rain. When the kids reach one house in particular, they ring the doorbell, but no one answers. They wait, the rain falling outside, but still nothing. The kids decide no one is home and race each other to the next house. Ronald O'Brien lags behind, and as the night comes to an end, Ronald tells the kids he has a surprise for them. "Remember the house where no one answered the doorbell?" he says. "Well, they came outside after you ran ahead, and look what they gave me. Pixie sticks." Ronald hands a pixie stick to both of the Bates kids and one each to his own children, 8-year-old Timothy and 5-year-old Elizabeth. The kids are so excited. Extra candy, right? So on the way home, Ronald passes a 10-year-old boy that he knows from their church, and he hands him a pixie stick too. Later that night, all dressed up in his Halloween jammies, 8-year-old Timothy asks his dad if he can eat some of his Halloween candy before bed. Ronald says yes, and Timothy chooses the giant pixie stick. But the powder is sticking, and Timothy is having a hard time getting it out of the straw, so he asks his dad for help. They finally get it loose, and Timothy dumps a powdery pile into his mouth. He says it tastes funny, a little bitter. Ronald tells him not to worry and grabs a glass of Kool-Aid for Timothy to wash away the bad taste. But something isn't right. Timothy's stomach starts to hurt and he runs to the bathroom where he immediately begins to convulse and throw up. Ronald holds Timothy in his arms when he goes limp. Timothy dies on the way to the hospital.
Wow, that is so quick.
Authorities immediately go through the other children's candy stashes who had been out with Timothy that night. They find the pixie sticks, still uneaten, from Timothy's little sister Elizabeth and the two Bates kids. Each pixie stick had been opened and stapled shut. The top 2 inches of the candy had been refilled with cyanide powder and resealed. A pathologist who later tested the pixie sticks said that there was enough cyanide in Timothy's candy to kill 2 adults, and that there was enough cyanide in the other kids' pixie sticks to kill 3 or 4 adults. There was still 1 pixie stick missing, though. the 10-year-old boy that Ronald knew from church, still had his candy. Police frantically call the boy's parents, who hysterically rush up the stairs in their house to find their son. Skipping steps on the way up, they open the door, and that's when they see him. Their son holding his pixie stick in his hand. Was it too late? They see him on his bed, holding the pixie stick, passed out.
Oh no.
But he isn't dead. He's sleeping. He has fallen asleep in the middle of trying to pull the staplers off the pixie stick that were holding it closed after it had been tampered with. Naturally, now police are asking questions. They want to know what house Ronald got the pixie stick from, but he says he can't remember. Police start getting really suspicious because they know that Ronald and his neighbor only took their kids to houses on two streets because it had been raining. Then they got even more suspicious because police go to every single house on both streets that Ronald says he took his kids to for trick-or-treating, and none of the houses were giving away pixie sticks. Police have Ronald walk the neighborhood with them three times, and finally he goes up to a house. He knocks on the door, but no one answers. Ronald says, well, this is the house. This is the house that gave me the candy. He says that the lights weren't on, and someone opened the door a crack, and a man stuck his hairy arm out to hand him the pixie sticks. A guy named Courtney Melvin owned the house, but he was an air traffic controller and says that he was working on Halloween night until 11 p.m. He says his wife and daughter handed out candy, but they left early, so there's no way that they handed out anything to Ronald and his kids later. After 200 people corroborated Melvin's story, police eliminated him as a suspect. So now police start doing some more digging, and they discover that Ronald Clark O'Brien is $100,000 in debt and has a history of not being able to hold a job. In the 10 years leading up to his son's death, he had 21 jobs.
Wow.
His car was about to be repossessed. He had defaulted on several bank loans and had the family home foreclosed on. And police discover that O'Brien had taken out life insurance policies on his children in the months before Timothy's death. Between his two kids, Ronald had taken out $60,000 in life insurance policies, and his wife had no idea. Police figure out that Timothy's own dad had poisoned him to death.
No way.
Because he wanted to get the life insurance money.
That is insane.
He had also tried to poison other kids, including his other daughter, to cover it up. And police never did figure out where Ronald got the poison, but he was arrested for Timothy's murder a few weeks later. He was indicted on one count of capital murder and four counts of attempted murder. O'Brien entered a plea of not guilty to all five counts. A chemical supply salesman testified that Ronald had asked him how to purchase cyanide, and friends and coworkers testified that in the months before Timothy's death, Ronald showed an unusual interest in cyanide and spoke about how much it would take to kill a person. On June 3, 1975, a jury took 46 minutes to find Ronald Clark O'Brien guilty of capital murder and four counts of attempted murder. He was sentenced to death. Ronald's wife immediately divorced him and moved away with their daughter Elizabeth and eventually remarried. And on March 31, 1984, shortly after midnight, O'Brien is executed by lethal injection. In his final statement, Ronald maintained his innocence, stating that he felt the death penalty was wrong. He said, I forgive all, and I do mean all, those who have been involved in my death. God bless you all, and may God's best blessings be always yours. During the execution, a crowd of 300 demonstrators gathered outside the prison and cheered, yelling trick or treat and throwing candy. And that is how Ronald Clark O'Brien became known as the man who killed Halloween.
Holy crap. I was like, where is this thing going the whole time? And this guy ends up killing his kids?
He was the killer, the dad. Crazy. So,
absolutely insane.
Something to think about. By the way, for the record, I looked this up.
Okay.
There has never been any instance in United States history of a child being poisoned with Halloween candy by a stranger. So if anything happened, it was by someone that they knew. So not like a stranger's house or anything like that. Like in this case, it was his own dad. So just interesting that it's kind of like an old tale, like don't, you know, look out for razor blades, but that has never really like happened.
As a kid, my mom always checked my Halloween candy.
Really?
It, like to make sure it still had air in it and wasn't like tampered with.
Ooh, that's good. That's See, that's a good mom right there.
I still think they're poisonous, those black and orange things. At least they taste like poison. Wow. All right, that is Murder Monday marathon right there on the Joe and Alex Show. Check out everything from this week at our website, RadioNowIndy.com.